I've got a story here. I'm going to read it direct. Actually, I found this very moving. The first time I read it, I found it really moving. So just enjoy it, all right? And hear what it says. And this is the father of Danny. As a little boy, Danny would often grip big wax crayons in his chubby fist to draw words. Oh, sorry, I forgot all that. Well, I don't know why I bothered with this, really. To draw words on any scrap of paper he could find. "Daddy," he said one day, handing me his latest masterpiece, "look what I righted." "Wow," I said, as if he'd knocked off the first page of Macbeth. "Well done, Danny, that's so clever. Your writing's so beautiful." "Wrong way up, silly," he said. Oh, right, I spun it, the paper, and studied it again. "Daniel," I said eventually, "you have written a great big long letter here, haven't you?" He looked extremely pleased. So pleased that he uttered two words that stopped my heart. "Read it." I stared at that crumpled piece of paper. I think many of us have been in this place, searching for a clue. Should I break it to him that his scribbles, while beautiful in their own way, didn't actually say anything? Would he feel deceived, discouraged? Should I change the subject? "Read it, Daddy," the little voice commanded again. Looking up from the paper, I stared in wild despair at the little face in front of me and suddenly knew exactly what to do. His scribbled remained incomprehensible, but his face was an open book. I knew its every wrinkle, contour and nuance, its every fleeting mood. It told me more eloquently than poetry and prose the kind of day he'd had, how he was feeling and what he'd eaten for dinner, and which weird little obsessions were curiously buzzing around his head like blue bottles in a jar. I returned to my son's artistry, cleared my throat, and began to read aloud. He listened intently, clearly surprised by his own brilliance and chuckling heartily in all the right places. "Well done, Daddy," he said in the end, emphasising each word with an emphatic nod of his head. "That was very good reading." And he nodded again. "Well, thank you," I said, nodding back, because it really had been some of the very best reading I'd ever done. Our Father in heaven doesn't get distracted by our scribbled words and squiggled thoughts. He isn't impressed by the dictionaries and lectionaries we hurl at the sky. Instead, he explores our hearts with infinite affection to discern the kind of day we've had, the way we're really feeling, and the weird little obsessions buzzing around our heads like blue bottles in a jar. God's ear hears the heart's voice. And we often don't know what to pray, do we? We don't know the words to use. We don't know what to say over some things in our lives. But we don't need to say anything. We bring ourselves to God and he works it all out. He knows the way we're feeling. He knows whether we're sad or whether we're feeling great today. And we say, we simply give ourselves to you, God, to work it all out, please. He is a great God. And I wonder why we're not wearing crash helmets, because he is a great God. You know, we come in the old days, all the ladies wore their hats, you know, beautiful hats to church, you remember? Yes, we don't do that anymore. But perhaps we should be wearing crash helmets, because God's a great God. And it says in the Bible that actually that great power that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that power is at work in us, in the world. And why aren't we wearing our crash helmets? Just in case, what's going to happen? Is he going to change our lives this morning? What will he say? What will he do? Sometimes it's hard coming to worship, isn't it? Do you think? Oh, maybe it's only me. And sometimes I don't feel in the mood, you know. So there are some helpful points here about what to do when you don't feel like it, all right? Wake up! We wake ourselves up. It's an act of will sometimes, isn't it? I will praise God, even though I don't really feel like it. Everything's the same. It's a beautiful world and it's wonderful, but somehow our heart isn't right with it. So we're going to sing about waking up. We're going to wake up each other, all right? And we're going to wake up ourselves. Let's sing. Would you like to stand up? Awake, awake. Because you've got to, really, those who possibly can. Please be seated. We've shaken off the dust then, all right? Shaken off the dust and reminded ourselves, hey, we've been redeemed. So that's a good start, isn't it? It's a good start. The second thing to do is, if you're not feeling up to it, pray a psalm. Hey, psalms are good, aren't they? Don't you think they're good? Mm-hmm. They fit your every mood and you can bring them to God. Using other people's words is a good idea. I do it all the time. And it's the prayer book that Jesus used. Hey, I don't very often think about that. But when I turn to a psalm, I think, hey, God read this. Jesus read it. He used it all sorts of times. And it's special. And one of the things we can do is to read it out loud. So all being well, yes, good, we're going to read this one out loud. It's one of my favourite psalms, and strangely, because it was a psalm that was read at the end of every term in my senior school. Now, I was not too keen on school, but this psalm I'm really keen on. Isn't that strange? It's done a lot for me, this psalm. And one of the places that I've used it a lot is when we've been on a flight, when we've gone on holiday, up in the sky, you look down on the clouds. And I don't know whether anybody else gets that feeling. It's just a wonderful feeling of freedom, and you can see so much that you don't usually see. It's amazing. Are you going to say this with me then? Read it out loud. Are you sitting or standing or what are you going to do then? You're lazy. All right. Well, you can sit. Am I all right here? Am I in your way, Hilary? Can you hear? Right. So Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. And it is, isn't it? And I still remember it, of course, in the Authorised Version, which makes it quite tricky for reading. But it isn't just a psalm you can pray with. Actually, there is the prayer book, you know, and there is the hymn book. I wonder if we're all a bit too evangelical to have a prayer book on our shelves. Anything goes, you know. And this is what's woken me up in reading this. I've often felt it, but I've sometimes felt I couldn't say it in church, you know. Because we seem to have a set idea about the way we do things, even in the Baptist church in Sea Green. We think we're free, but we're not really. And we can use poetry too. Do you have a favourite psalm, or a hymn, or a reading, or something you often turn to that turns your heart to God? This is that moment when I'm going to say, turn to someone near to you and talk about that just for a few minutes. Is there something that immediately comes to mind, like my Psalm 8, if you like? Is there something? You're allowed to talk now, all right, to each other. And you two are always talking to each other, so I shall come and join you. Oh, Anne, why don't you come and join us? There are just so many, aren't there? So many verses that you can turn to. Memories, things that are evoked by things. Has anybody got one that you want to just shout out or something? Yes. Yeah, Colin?
Yeah.
Psalm 24.
Psalm 24. How does it start, Colin?
The earth is the Lord's.
Oh, right.
And everything that's in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just the thing that's been on our hearts. Somebody mentioned Psalm 23 over here. Anything else? Sorry?
Amazing Grace.
Oh, it's all right. The voice came and I was looking right down here. You're a bit, you're lifted up today.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else?
How great thou art.
How great thou art, yes.
Psalm 34.
And what's that one?
His praise
will always be on
my lips.
Yeah, lovely. Anything else? Anyone else?
Psalm 139.
Oh, well, Psalm 139 is quite long, but it's lovely. Yeah, yeah. Anything else? Anyone else wants to mention? Yes, Howard. What was it?
112.
Right, blessed are those who fear the Lord. Anyone else?
121, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my hope come from?
Great, yes,
I'm trust the Lord.
Yeah. All wonderful things, aren't they? They're wonderful words, aren't they? And actually, they've been echoed by the other things that you mentioned, haven't they? God is great. Right, come on, time's running out. Awake my soul, pray a psalm, use music. Now then, well, we think we use music in church, and of course we do, but he said, listen to music, Bach. Now, come on, be honest. How many of you listen to Bach? Oh, good. Do you know, I'm going to tell a secret now. Thank you. I'm going to tell you a secret, and he's at home, so that's all right. I shall be in trouble when I get back. But you know, we went through a period in this church where everything, all the songs were so soft and lovely and wonderful. And there was no power, no greatness in them. And he would go before me to go home. And when I got home, there would be Bach playing as loud as loud. Because to Clive, but to us, the greatness of God comes across in that. There's no words. There's no words in it. It's just the sound that's so dynamic. And there are other pieces of music too. Other things are available. And for me, one of my favourite pieces of music is Lark Ascending. Now, we stopped playing that at home because we played a lot. And it got to a certain point in Lark Ascending and I fell asleep. Every time, the same point, every time. Which just shows how relaxing that piece of music is. Again, no words, but it reminded me of our walk, a walk we used to do from our first little house and through the fields to Coddicott Bottom. And one day we were with my husband's parents and there was a sudden stop because it was absolutely still, but one sound, the skylark. And it was a wonderful sound, and that's what comes across in that piece of music. Try it. You too could have a nap. It's beautiful. So it doesn't matter what music you use, apparently. Now, I have to confess, I had to find some Beyoncé on the laptop because I had no idea what Beyoncé was like. And I don't know that I can worship with Beyoncé, really. No, but then we're very staid, aren't we? Perhaps there may be something, you know, if there's something there, let me know, because I'll try it out. Basically, there are things which just stir our souls, aren't there? There are types of music that are just us. It may be folk, yeah? Sorry?
The Oyster Band.
There you are, you see. Well, you know, I mean, I just know so little. But there are things that you can listen to that just stir your soul and make you think of God. That's the important thing. The words may not be there. What was it? I can't remember who said this now. Someone said about witnessing. If necessary, use words. Is that right? I can't remember who it was now. Yeah, never mind. Anyway, so in a way, this book is encouraging us to use whatever without necessarily using words. Let me see what comes next. Oh yeah, wake my soul, pray a song, use music, all sorts, listen, unencumbered by the constraints of language. And sometimes we need that because we haven't got the right words. And meet with others. Don't you like these words at the end? It says, it can be an encouragement, a challenge and discomfort, meeting with others to worship. Now, be honest. Have you ever felt discomforted meeting with other Christians?
Yeah.
It can happen, can't it? You can have your turn another Sunday. You can tell us what you really think. But it can be a huge encouragement. You know, I've heard a couple of people, and in fact the chap in the book as well, was going through a very difficult time. His wife was very ill. And he said, the last place I wanted to be was in my church. And he was the minister of an evangelical church. And he said, it wasn't that they didn't care and they wanted to encourage, but actually, I was so painful inside. I went along to the Anglican church and crept in at the end of the service and joined in the service there and found God there. And he said, as I came out, I pulled my hood up. I felt as though I was coming out of a strip club or something because I didn't want anybody to recognise me. I was the minister of this successful church along the road, you know. But I needed to be somewhere where I could be anonymous and just be with God. And I know there are people here who feel like that as well. When it's really painful, somehow you need your privacy. don't you? You need to be just with God without other people coming and saying, can I pray for you? You know, it's, to be honest, sometimes people have said, can I pray with you? And that's the last thing I've wanted, really. I've just wanted to lick my wounds. So, and also, now and in the past. I wonder how often you think of people from the past who've worshipped with us here. Wonderful, wonderful thoughts, you know. Dear Lizzie Payne, hey. Ernie, here. All sorts of people. They're all special. And you think, actually, when we're praising God with people in heaven. Doesn't that stir your spirit? It stirs mine. Here we are, all sorts of things, all sorts of people, all meeting together, all doing it in different ways, you know? Just the chat, the raise the arms, the togetherness in studying the word, the quiet prayerfulness. And you can use liturgy. We used a bit this morning, didn't we, Meg? Pleased with the Meg? The bit of liturgy we used? Yes, not bad. And that liturgy, the firm liturgy in, as it might be, the Anglican Church, is good. We might choose to decide an Anglican-type service one morning, you know, just to remind ourselves of some of the things. It's a framework that we can use. And in that, of course, political leaders are remembered. We don't always do that, do we? And the constraints of holy habits. There's a story of someone who trained as a ballerina, and she balleted for quite some years, and then she gave it up to have a baby. But it said that with her boots on and the baby in her arms, just the way she moved was still ballerina-like. There was something that was habitually there in her body so that she moved in that way. And there was the priest who had dementia, and sometimes he couldn't remember what he was trying to say. But when he prayed, it all came back, and he prayed as though everything was still okay. So it's holy habits we try to instill in ourselves and in each other, really. And I love this next one. Oh, no. Oh, yes, that's right. I was going to say this one. This is Jesus' special prayer, look. Actually, it's the special prayer of the people of God. Let's say it. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And that is a prayer that he would have said three times a day. Three times a day. Just a reminder, what am I here for? And here's a little bit of the general thanksgiving. I've only put a little bit in because it goes on quite a long time and we're running out. So, do you remember this? Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we bless you, Lord, for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but most of all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and the hope of glory. Immeasurable. It's much easier to say than inestimable. Is that right? Inestimable. Okay, and the final thing that we can use is our own weirdness. I like that, don't you? Don't you think? We use our own weirdness. I'm not sure what my weirdness is, but I'm sure I'm weird. And you're all sure I'm weird as well, so that's all right. What are we like? We're all so different, aren't we? How do we bring all our weirdnesses together to God? And it's jolly hard on a Sunday morning to bring all of our weirdnesses, but we've got the rest of life. So here, look, worshipping our God with our own weirdness. Well, look, that's obviously a picture there of Eileen taking the dog for a walk. All right. And that one there, well, I remember somebody standing on this stage here and saying, whenever I water ski, I sing worship songs. I remember. Camera. You remember cameras when they look like that? We were set. Clive is looking through all our slides. It's endless. We have so many slides, and he's got this machine, and he's putting them all on the computer and dusting them. And it's taking forever, absolutely forever. But we've come across some ones of Naomi when she was 3. Oh, it's lovely. And don't you praise the Lord when you see pictures like that? Oh, wasn't she lovely? I'm glad she's not watching. I'm glad she was lovely. So many different and places we've been to and things we've seen. And it's something you praise God for, isn't it? So your photography, the artistry. I've got an artist there. She's not at all like Linda. And potting. I must have known you were coming today, Christine. Pot. There's something really special about working with clay. Apart from getting dirty, I don't like getting dirty a bit and having to clear up afterwards, you know? But having a go on the wheel, hey, just creating something. And that picture there at the top of, sorry, I'm waggling that thing, aren't I? I'm sorry. There's a picture there of a river coming down, crashing over boulders. And there's a verse which says, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Now, I think in the psalm, his meaning to say he's been going through a rough time. I don't know. I think I asked you about that at some stage, Chris, and I don't think I got a straight answer. So that probably is a good reason. But that verse always comes to me. There's a place that we go to, we have been to, Lynmouth, where the River Lynn comes down over the all the boulders in the river. The river's going out to sea, and actually you don't notice it there, really, in a strange sort of way. But there's a spot where you stand, and the noise is terrific. You can't hear yourself speak, you can't talk to anyone. The water is making such a noise, and it looks so magnificent. And it takes you over. It's almost as though your brain's having a washout. And you can't use words, but you see and you hear the glory. So you bring your own weirdness, you bring who you are, what you do, the books you read, the friends you have, all of these things should be helping you to worship God. I don't know whether I've hit a mark anywhere at all this morning, but all I know is that it's really encouraged me to realise that actually what we do on Sunday is worship, but it's only a little bit of worship. And if we're not doing that, looking for ways in which to worship God throughout our day, then we're missing something. Just seek for something, not just creation. See how far you can take it. Because what we're wanting more than anything in this series and in the things we've been talking about is that God should be real, not just to us, but to the people that we meet day by day.